Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
In honor of Military Appreciation Month, Verizon thought of a lot of different ways we could show our appreciation, like rolling out the red carpet, giving you your own personal marching band, or throwing a bumping shindig. At Verizon, we're doing all that in the form of special military offers. That's why, this month only, we're giving military and veteran families a $200 Verizon gift card and a phone on us with a select trade-in and a new line on select unlimited plans. Think of it as our way of flying a squadron of jets overhead while launching fireworks. Now that's what we call a celebration, because we're proud to serve you. Visit your local Verizon store to learn more. $200 Verizon gift card requires smartphone purchase, $799.99 or more with new line on eligible plan. Gift card sent within 8 weeks after receipt of claim. Phone offer requires $799.99 purchase with new smartphone line on unlimited ultimate or postpaid unlimited plus. Minimum plan $80 a month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months. Less $800 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in must be from Apple, Google, or Samsung. Trade-in and additional terms apply.
Come on in!
Are Steel Magnolias, two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Hi, Lainey.
Hi, Laura Beth.
Well, I am licking my lips.
I made a little treat for you.
Some gooey goodness. Well, not gooey, just moist goodness.
Yeah.
That was such a sweet surprise. What in the world? These are orange brownies?
They're called orange brownies, and per usual, I have a handwritten recipe. I don't have, like, a link to it. We might could find it on a link, but I got it from my good friend Laura Holman.
Well, keep talking, because it's so good that
so
my mouth's full.
It's called an orange brownie, which is kind of weird to me, because when I hear brownie, I think chocolate, and
true.
It's not. It's
true.
More like a kind of vanilla cake.
But it would go really well with tea.
It has orange zest, which, you know, we love.
I can tell. I can see it. Yeah.
In the cake and in the icing.
Okay.
It's like a cream cheese icing. It's totally naughty, but just something different. And I don't know. It just seemed summery to me.
So yum. Thank you for
yes.
this is going to give me a little sugary boost to
yes.
kick off our fun episode today. And I wanted to mention also, we've talked before on here how much joy it brings us to hear listener feedback.
You know? Interacting with you and hearing how it's impacting you, or that you tried a recipe, or
yes,
pulled something out that you hadn't used that was your grandma's. That thrills us.
Yeah. So some people have even been putting those into reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Awesome.
So I wanted just to mention that that is a very easy thing to do. Statistics show that if you are listening to this podcast, over half of you are listening on Apple Podcasts.
Wow. Okay.
So there's the option to give us 1 to 5 stars.
Right.
That's an easy click. And then you can leave an even just like a 1-sentence review, and that helps people find us.
That's right.
And
all the algorithms.
Yes.
I don't know and understand it all, but it helps people find us.
Well, and it's also very likely that maybe you heard about this podcast from a friend, like, or you
right.
saw somebody post about it, or you somehow came across a post of ours about it. So word of mouth is huge.
Yeah.
And anyway, I wanted to read just a couple of podcast reviews.
Oh, cool.
That were fun to read recently. And one's from a gal and one's from a guy. So I'm going to try
that.
And give some equal balance there. The first one's from, a woman up in the Northeast, and you'll hear about that quickly. I don't remember how I learned about this podcast, but I'm so glad I found it. I've lived in New Jersey all my life, but have always enjoyed all things Southern. My family and I will be moving to North Carolina next year,
wow.
and we are looking forward to the change. This podcast is like a Southern primer for me. It is helping me to learn about Southern traditions and culture I find myself taking mental notes and checking out the links that Lainey and Laura Beth post on the podcast page. Keep the podcast coming. I have a lot to learn.
Oh, that's going to be a culture change for sure.
It is. And the funny part of that is how much we ourselves learn
each week.
We have a lot to learn as well. And then a guy over in the DC area, he says, full disclosure, I am a half Vietnamese dude who's originally from Boston and now live in the Washington, DC area. I am proud of this, but when I listen to this podcast, I truly feel like I'm missing out on an amazing culture. Really fun to listen to the chemistry between these two sisters and their passion for Southern living.
I love it.
So, anyway, just a simple sentence would help to just spread the word.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever.
And tell your friends, too.
Yeah. Whatever you get out of the podcast allows us to, again, just see kind of directional-wise what people are getting.
I know for me, it really helps me with momentum because this is taking a lot of time to do. And while we enjoy it, hearing that good feedback really helps us keep it going, because there's those days where it's like, oh, this is a lot of big time commitment.
We have a lot to research for today's content. Yeah, I know. I agree.
So thank you for those who have done it. And if you would do that, we'd appreciate it.
Yes. So we have a few reasons why we chose today's topic to be included and then also to be included now. One is we wanted to introduce a new companion.
I had a baby.
Lainey is now the owner of a wonderfully adorable new dog
who's sitting at our feet as we speak.
She's been part of our recording at least 3 weeks now, and she is a Springer Spaniel named Libby.
Yes, she's 4 years old, and I rescued her from our Williamson County Animal Center.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, amazing place down there, over there.
So I also have a hunting dog from the Williamson
Williamson County Animal Center.
Animal Center, yes, thank you. And
you got a gorgeous yellow lab.
Yeah, so we're talking hunting dogs today.
Yes.
And we do want to welcome Libby.
Yes, she's so precious. And I saw that Garden and Gun magazine is having a contest, a photo contest.
Yes.
And so I'm going to enter. I don't have my picture done yet, but I'm going to enter the contest. And there's many reasons I'm entering the contest. One reason I'm entering is the grand prize winner gets a really nice kennel, a crate.
Oh,
and I'm in need of one because I've got one on loan right now. So,
yeah.
Will y'all help me get Libby a crate?
We're going to link in our social accounts this week once you've got her picture posted so that we can go vote.
Yeah. So the editors are picking the grand winner. It's not based on votes, but to get in the magazine, it's the top Reader's Choice votes.
Okay.
And I'm late to the game. There's already some that have like almost 400
That's okay.
votes. But
Libby's cute enough. She's sweet. She's brown and white. Like I said, she's a Springer Spaniel, and she's going to be
adorable.
Her breed will be mentioned on our list today because she is in the hunting dog category. But yeah, y'all will get a thrill getting to see
this little
Lainey's new companion on our Facebook and Instagram this week. Well,
hunting dogs is a big deal in the South.
It is. And
a big part of culture. And
yeah, much of the Southeast is prime for hunting.
Right.
Just our landscape. And so the season of hunting would be October to January. So that was another reason.
For most things. I think there's a few. Is it dove? Something's already.
Okay, maybe.
September, I think. But
okay.
And I don't know because I'm not a hunter.
Maybe full disclosure.
That's right.
We own hunting dogs yet don't hunt. but dogs are an integral part
of
this
family
tradition.
Life.
So we wanted to highlight some popular breeds that often make lists that a lot of Southerners own.
Yeah.
And so, there's usually, you know, a couple of categories. I think you mentioned that American Kennel Club.
Yeah, under the American Kennel Club, most hunting dogs fall under the sporting or the hound group.
Okay.
And so I looked those up, and I'm not going to go through these long lists, but there's 31 breeds in the sporting group and 32 breeds in the hound group.
That's a lot of breeds.
It's a lot of different breeds. So, and there's a few breeds that I was going to mention, too, that are specifically, you know, started in the South.
In this region, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I thought that might be interesting to our listeners.
So, yeah. So, sporting and hound are the two groups. And then, among those two groups, there's either scent hounds or gun dogs.
Yeah, and so gun dogs sometimes are called bird dogs.
Yes.
But that's...
Yeah, because they hunt birds.
Yeah. And even in that, Laura Beth, there's different, and I'm not going to pretend to know, but just in reading about the English Springer Spaniel, since that's my new child,
yeah.
I was trying to read a little bit.
Yeah.
They're called flushing dogs.
Okay.
And so flushing dogs, it's my understanding, are, well, there's retrievers, flushing dogs, and pointers under sporting.
Okay.
So you've got retrievers that pull, you know, bring the bird back.
Yeah.
You've got pointers. I don't understand exactly how that works, but
okay. They
stand on point to kind of show the hunter where
yes. The
birds are.
Yes.
And then the flushing dogs, what they do is they go, well, think about flushing, pushing things out.
Yes.
So they'll go in and push the kill, you know what?
Yeah.
Whatever it is out. So that the hunter can shoot.
Okay. So pushing it while it's alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Rabbits
yeah.
out
yes.
of the holes or whatever
exactly.
it is
yeah.
out. Get
yeah.
it out so
yeah.
that it can. And then when I think of hounds, I think they can, you know, chase even something huge up into a tree and just stand at the tree, you know,
wow.
and bark up. They're up looking up at the tree because they've got it cornered up
yeah.
there. So
yeah.
that the. I mean, I've heard they can even get mountain lions and big things
up
the
tree. Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I'm not
wow
hunting specialist here, but isn't that fascinating?
That so is crazy.
These dogs are amazing and very smart.
Well, they are. They're smart. They have, I read that, you know, a strong prey drive would be definitely important.
To make a good hunter.
Highly trained.
Yeah.
Very receptive, you know, to training for this. And then just athletic.
Yeah.
Like, they have a lot of endurance.
Again, for this podcast, I was watching some videos of dogs that could run. And just the way, how high they jump and spring off of the trees and stuff. It was just unbelievable.
I need to watch more of that.
It's
that
so
cool. That sounds
cool.
Well, and I do want to mention that, like, a great hunting dog doesn't have to be a purebred dog. There's a lot of great mixed breed dogs that make for excellent hunting dogs.
That's right.
And so, I have a Labrador Retriever, and
beautiful.
Since we got him as a rescue, I was told he was a lab, but we don't have papers on him, and I do kind of sometimes think he's a mix, which is fine, but I think he, you know, could be trained to be a hunting dog.
Yeah.
And, because he will retrieve every single thing, even when you don't want him to.
So sweet, though.
That's just their nature.
It
they
is.
Can't not retrieve.
And with Libby walking her, we've seen some doves and stuff on the ground, and she just, you know, it's in her to just want to go.
Yeah.
And I can't, you know, pull her back. I mean, yes, I do try to keep her under control, but I'm not going to be mad that she's pulling me
yeah.
towards birds. That's
right.
what she's born
yeah.
to do.
Yeah. So, let's just start with the English Springer Spaniel, if you don't mind, since we're already on Libby.
Okay. Well, yeah.
She's a bird dog.
She's a bird dog, and they are really best, considered maybe the best for pheasant hunting, which
okay.
is not in the South.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, what they're supposedly like their prime thing,
yeah.
but they're great bird dogs
yeah.
for lots of different things. One reason why is their size.
Yeah.
They're usually 40 to 50 pounds.
Yeah.
So that's not so big.
Right.
That they can't, you know, they can maneuver in small,
yeah.
smaller
yeah.
places that maybe a big retriever couldn't get
right.
to.
It feels funny talking about her right here.
I know.
She's just being so quiet and faithfully listening to us. Any of the Springer Spaniels, they also have great retrieving skills that would be similar to a Labrador Retriever or a Golden Retriever. They're very similar in those retrieving skills. So,
another thing I didn't know until listening to this or researching for this podcast, sometimes there'll be a team of dogs and one might be trained to do the flushing and a different one to do the retrieving and different things like that.
Teamwork.
So they got to know what their particular role is.
And they're probably trained that way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, and just again, they make for great, excellent family dogs.
Yeah.
So hunting aside,
right.
They're just a fantastic dog to be around. But members of your family.
That's right. They're great. But it is good to know before you pick a breed what their kind of purpose is.
True.
Because I think, you know, like I've already experienced, like in Libby's case, when I do have to crate her, I want to make sure she's gotten some movement.
Yeah.
So that she is tired because she needs movement.
She's an athlete. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's not fair for me to expect her to be calm in certain moments she hasn't gotten what
right.
she needs to run and get stuff out and
born an
all
athlete.
Of that, so
yeah, that's awesome. Well, welcome Libby again.
Oh,
glad to have her here. Well, as I mentioned, I have a Labrador Retriever,
probably the number one, I would say.
Yeah, I've had
hunting dog anywhere.
Probably,
I don't know. Maybe this definitely.
Yeah,
in the top.
Yeah.
I would probably say that's probably the biggest.
Yeah. I have a yellow lab now. I had a black lab before. And I just, now I'm gravitating to this breed.
Yeah.
So I could see myself continuing.
They're beautiful.
Tough as puppies, but kind of what dog isn't tough as a puppy, in my opinion. I mean, they're all going to have their challenges. So Labrador Retriever would be one of the most popular gun dogs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like I mentioned, as a puppy, enthusiastic, energetic, just so loyal, a very loyal dog. And
well, I think of, we just talked Downton Abbey, and I love that lab that's his buddy on the show. Like, just
made it into the movie, too.
So precious.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? They can withstand really cold temperatures, labs can. They are often considered best for duck hunting.
Okay.
So, like, even a lot of photography I've seen.
Isn't it so cool when you see them?
They have a duck in their mouth.
So.
But again, an excellent companion and family dog.
Well, I looked up a couple of the really, I guess, popular or big kennels for the British Labrador Retrievers in the South.
Yes.
There's one called Wild Rose Kennels that's in Oxford, Mississippi.
Okay.
I don't know pricing or any of that. I'm sure it is off the chain.
Call for pricing.
But, you know, they make sure that they're breeding really great hunting dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to have somebody else do that. You can train a dog.
Sure.
If you want to take the time to do it.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the time it's going to take and you want to just pay the fee and let somebody else do that and then you buy the dog already trained, that's a different way to do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's that Wild Rose Kennels. And then I also looked online at a Blue Cypress Ranch, which is in Florida. Same thing. They do the British Labrador Retrievers and,
you know
who the parents are and the papers and all the stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's cool. That is neat to know all of the ancestry behind a dog and a breed.
Yeah. I don't know my dogs either since, you know, she's a rescue.
Yeah.
But,
well, she's sweet as all get out. Okay, what else? Golden Retrievers?
Golden Retrievers are also so popular in America.
Gun dog. Mostly birds and other small prey. Again,
they got a little bit longer hair than the retriever. And
they're so beautiful.
They are pretty.
I feel like just every L.L. Bean catalog, you know, at some point includes
the labs and the retrievers.
In the fall and absolutely. Winter editions, especially.
Absolutely. Sitting by the fire in yes. their little cozy beds.
Yes. With their monogrammed scarf or coat on. Okay. They're super enthusiastic and loyal, very trainable. They're so smart. Again, great family companions.
Yeah.
And they have a good reputation for getting along with children mm-hmm. as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm biased, but I think pets are so good for kids. Cats and dogs. Like, yeah. I just think they're
just
good
to be
for
around
kids.
That. Yeah.
And we could go on and on with the, you know, just unconditional love that they give us.
I know.
But that's so special for a kid to have a confidant.
Yeah.
A dog.
Yeah.
Where they're looking at you and with those beautiful eyes and you can tell them all your woes.
I know.
I just think it's yeah. very special.
Yeah. I even, we have one couch that our dog is now allowed to get on. It's slowly progressed and gotten to that. But that's where we are now. And, but I wasn't feeling great today. And so I was taking a nap and I let Benson, that's my dog's name, get up and curl up
Benson.
Next to me. And he just put his little head on my leg and
oh,
it was just so comforting.
It is.
It's like, gosh, that might make me feel better. Just not the nap necessarily, but him laying here with me.
Well, let me tell you that in my experience in the last few weeks, I'm trying not to have her up on the furniture yet. We may
yeah.
get to a little
yeah.
bit more of that, but
yeah.
the trainer's recommending don't do that yet.
Yeah.
So I've been laying in the floor or in her bed
oh.
with her. Oh my goodness.
Snuggles.
She'll just roll over and let me rub her belly.
Oh.
It's so sweet.
That's so fun. This is
and all of that bonding's important. Even with training,
yeah.
for them to trust you as a leader
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I feel like we're giving the, just such a different perspective
on
hunting
dogs. Well,
they're so cute and cuddly.
They're precious. They'll let you rub their belly. Also, the beagle is big.
Oh, beagles.
I
yes.
think of beagles as just always those noses always working.
Always going.
You know, it's
yeah.
kind of unbelievable.
Yeah. And can be noisy too.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
like
anything in that hound group with those. Yeah. It's adorable to me in small doses. I've not had one though that I had.
Well, my sister-in-law has one now and has had like, that's kind of her go-to
okay.
breed and precious,
Such
precious
sweet.
Family dog. But yeah, always busy, 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 busy. Just
yeah.
stays moving in their yard. So, but yeah, can have a loud voice for
well,
sure.
Well, I think also with beagles and I guess beagles and pointers would be the two I think of the most in artwork. When I
yeah.
see like famous artwork of hunting, there's always dogs, you know, in the fox hunts and
yes.
different things. You
yes.
see these different breeds, but oftentimes I think of beagles and pointers with artwork
yeah.
for
yeah.
some reason.
And they're smaller, but they would be used for hunting either some smaller game or like rabbits,
yeah.
especially rabbits, I
yeah.
would say. Yeah.
I'm actually kind of hopeful that Libby's not going to do a whole lot of rabbit hunting and stuff.
Yeah.
I've heard of Springer's
yeah.
bringing you stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, because you've got a good size yard, so.
We do have them sometimes.
She could be active.
She does like to get back in the back
in
the
brush
and
yeah.
stuff, so I hope I don't get any presents. But anyway, I can't shame her if she does it. That's what she's made for. Also similar to the beagle, the American Foxhound.
Oh, so pretty. Such a pretty dog.
So American looking.
I think they're a little taller, if I'm remembering correctly, than beagles, but they do have a similar look.
And I failed to mention under beagle, our famous Snoopy dog is a beagle.
True. Yeah.
like,
yeah.
He's probably one of the more
Iconic.
Famous beagles.
Yes, that's very true.
But yeah, American Foxhounds. We already mentioned the English Springer Spaniel.
Yeah. So foxhounds they're used to hunt foxes. But they have also been bred to hunt deer as well.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I've read before.
That's cool.
Let's see.
I guess, would you, I don't know how that works. Would you be up on the deer stand and they're just out working the field a little bit? That could be.
I don't know. And then I also have a note here that there are some legal restrictions with these types of hunting, depending on your location.
Well, so, I would think, gosh, you would need a dog that's so well trained to be out in the field so you don't shoot them.
Shoot them, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I should be the one tackling gun dogs. So funny.
Okay, you mentioned pointer earlier. Also kind of called the English pointer. That's a bird dog. High, high, high prey drive, like very determined spirit.
Yeah.
Which I even just, you know, even that name, pointer, like their tail is the point. But even like the way we use that phrase, get to the point. Like they're just determined.
Yes.
I feel.
And they can stand in that point position for long periods of time too. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. They would be likely to pursue like quail or pheasants. They're very heat tolerant.
Okay.
I've read. And therefore,
I would think that would make them popular in the South.
Exactly. So they're very suited for hot, humid conditions like the South. But that could even, you know, again, whether them be out in the heat of the day hunting or on the sofa. They're really great family dogs as well. And the smaller breed includes the German short hair pointer and the German wire-haired pointer.
Okay.
So those are like the shorter-haired versions of the pointer.
I'm just amazed at all these different breeds. Like I said, I've got this, you know, list of each of the sporting and hound groups. And
yeah.
Wow. There's just so many. And I think a lot of them are similar. Like there's just a tiny variation, but yet it makes it a different, considered different.
That's true.
In a category. But, yeah. So many amazing dogs.
Yeah. There's also the Chesapeake Bay Retriever.
Yes.
They are super athletic. Also a gun dog.
I think those are cool looking too.
They are. They're cool. I know. I'm probably going to put up a lot of images this week on our socials. Just because I want people to see
the different
variations of the way they look.
Well, and that's a southern breed, a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. I've got this book here that mentions five different southern sporting dogs.
Okay.
And the Chesapeake Bay Retriever is a southern dog.
You may even hear them called a Chessie.
Yes, I have heard that.
Okay.
I have heard that. They were bred sometime in the 19th century to retrieve birds for the duck hunters of the mid-Atlantic, a water-loving canine with a courageous spirit. They're steady, confident. They can harness. They're just, yeah, fun-loving for families.
Yeah.
And much like many of these breeds we're talking about, but they're really good for rough water. So,
That's crazy, yeah. Yeah, and cold water, like rough and cold.
Okay.
They can manage both of that. I've read also that they embrace or embody a lot of the characteristics of a lab, except they're not necessarily everyone's best friend. Like, they're good dogs. They're family friendly.
But
they don't have the loyalty.
Okay.
Yeah, of the Labrador Retriever. But they're just, I mean, again, they're, it would be an excellent
duck hunting
family dog for an active household.
Yeah. That's real. I mean, you know, if you're getting a breed that's made to run and work, don't be frustrated if they are frustrated.
They don't want to be a couch potato with you. Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. Well, the University of Tennessee's mascot, Smokey, the blue tick coonhound, is also meant to hunt.
Made in the top 10 list that we have here. Yeah, those are ones that I was talking about, can chase things up a tree.
Yeah.
And then let the hunter get to it, and then it's ready to be shot.
I mean, yeah, I need to watch some videos, like you said, that you watched of that in action. That just seems hard to believe. Because, you know, I don't know what the average weight of a
blue tick coonhound
is.
I
don't know.
Can't be that much, though, right?
Mm-mm.
50?
I would think about 50 pounds. 50-ish? But, yeah, they've been known, like you said, to pursue cougars, mountain lions. I'm just trying to imagine that. That seems
what
hard to believe.
What is a mountain lion running from a coonhound? But
super high energy. But yeah, again, if you follow Tennessee football, this is Smokey.
Yes.
Excellent noses. They're known for being quite vocal. Like if you're at a Tennessee game, even sometimes you can see him.
Even if you can't hear him, you
raising
can see
his mouth to the sky and howling.
So cute.
But yeah, I mean, so they're vocal when not even when they're pursuing a hunt. They're vocal just in general. They are descendant of the French. Oh gosh, now that I've started this, I don't know this word,
and it's an unusual name.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Here, I'll underline it for you so that you can see.
So I can be the one to butcher it and make it. French Bleu de Gascogne.
I think that's right on.
French Bleu de Gascogne. I don't know.
Okay.
Something along those lines. It's French, and I don't speak French, so.
Yeah. So they're a descendant of them and the English foxhound.
Okay.
So. Again, would be a great companion for a real active household.
And they're just stinking cute.
They are cute. They are, they're similar also to, if you've ever seen like a red bone coonhound as well.
Can I mention something that I came across in
of course.
Preparations for this podcast? I had heard of this, so okay. I Googled it.
Okay.
There is in Northwest Alabama a coon dog cemetery.
What? Northwest Alabama. Okay.
Yes.
So that wouldn't be too far from here.
It's actually a really small town. I can't remember the name, but it's near where Helen Keller's from.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, September the 4th, 1937, Key Underwood buried his coon dog troop at their favorite hunting camp.
Oh.
And this is what became the Coon Dog Cemetery.
Oh my gosh. There's
literally now been hundreds of coon dogs buried here, and there's little markers for them.
Uh-uh.
And you can look up images of that for this week too, because it is sweet.
Wow. Wonder.
Kind of interesting that it is like literally something that I read said the Coon Dog Cemetery has its own road, Coon Dog Cemetery Road. A 10-mile-long stretch of winding, rolling beauty, a barely paved 1.5-lane road with steep hills and sharp curves, sketched through 1,000 acres of nothing much. You're never going to get there without going there because it's not on the way to anywhere else.
Oh.
That was from an article that I...
Well, then that sounds like a restful
right.
or peaceful resting place.
And if it was a hunting camp,
yeah,
you know, it's just natural
right.
to where they would love... but this September 4th, 1937, when this first dog was buried there, that was a Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
So on Labor Day weekend, they always have a big celebration at the Coon Dog Cemetery with food, music, storytellers to honor these coon
dogs.
That's
precious.
Is that not the sweetest thing?
That is so precious.
So, you can go to coondogcemetery.com
okay.
to read all about it. But, Laura Beth, they literally have, for you to bury your dog there,
yeah.
there's like three requirements. I can't remember. But they, like, literally have a committee and somebody has to see the dog is a coonhound. Like,
okay, that's funny that you said this because I actually was going to ask you when you first started talking about this, wonder how you get...
Yeah,
qualified to get in, or if it's a wait list, or
I don't know that there's any wait list or anything like that, but there is a like it has to be verified, like they have to see that the dog is a type of a coonhound.
Wow!
So it doesn't have to be blue tick. I mean, it could be any
right.
of the different red bone,
yeah,
Treen Walker, Scottish.
Yeah.
You know, there's the different ones,
yeah.
but it does have to be a
black
coonhound.
And tan coonhound.
Yeah,
yeah. Wow. That is cool. Yeah, if you're a coonhound owner, that's a very special...
It'd be a special place.
Especially if it were close to you, if you are one that enjoys getting to, you know, visit. I don't know. Different people have their ways of grieving and mourning, but that's cool.
That's true.
Very cool. Thanks for mentioning that.
Yes.
Okay, there's a couple more setters
yes.
that we need to mention. Also gorgeous. The English setter is definitely a gun dog.
Yeah.
Known for pointing, running, hunting skills. They can be trained to retrieve, making them, excellent bird hunting dogs. The I had read that the popularity of different setters rose when they began to split into two categories, confirmation and the field. Is that right?
Okay. I don't know.
So field dogs are smaller and more lightly feathered, making them best for hunting. Confirmation dogs are more suited to be show dogs and pets due to their like larger frames and longer feathers. So either one makes an excellent companion. But
those are pretty. All those English and the Irish setter as well, like that pretty longer hair is lovely to see flowing when they're running.
Yeah. That's funny that you mentioned that because the photo I have here is of the Irish setter running. Oh, so the Irish setter as well. That would be the last one.
Are they always that beautiful red?
I think so.
Oh, gosh, I just think those are so pretty.
Yeah, beautiful red coat, just agility. Mm-hmm. Like they're fun to watch at those dog shows to watch how they sure maneuver. Are. But they, what else would I say about them? The Irish setter is tougher than it looks, really.
Because it does look like it would be kind of prissy.
It does. They are rugged, hardworking, determined to pursue birds, but they are also friendly and affectionate.
Oh, see, these are great family dogs.
Family, family, family. That's the theme I've heard outside of their athleticism and pursuit to hunt.
Well, this is so much a part of culture. I just think, you know, I know the Garden and Gun magazine, they have a column every month that's called Good Dog. And it's just stories about different people, you know, different writers telling stories about dogs. But that's just a big part of culture, I think. And some people even go to, I found this one article, it was out of Atlanta magazine, that mentioned their top five Southern hunting lodges where you can actually go and like for a vacation.
Okay.
You can stay in these inns or lodges and
I bet they're
have
gorgeous.
Fine dining. Yeah. Some of them have spas. But you can hunt with either bringing your dog, your hunting dog, or you can use their hunting dogs. Like they have some on property as well.
Cool.
And, you know, different ones are popular for hunting different things.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, anyway.
That's cool.
I may give you these notes so that you can even link to a few of them.
Yeah,
but
do
there's,
that.
They're in Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Louisiana.
These wow, they're all over.
Different ones. And I don't know time-wise if I need to go into each one, but some of them are for hunting boar. Some of them are more for hunting, you know, deer and then lots of them will also have fishing. And, depending on where you are is, you know, some of them, like in Louisiana, it's ducks and more swamp kind of things.
Yeah.
And
where the duck dynasty grew.
Oh gosh, I forgot. Yes. Where they became so famous. But, literally people make their vacations around hunting.
Wow,
sometimes.
That's true. And, that's true. Well, and if you are, you know, in the immediate family and want to vacation with someone that wants to hunt. That sounds like an amazing option if you have the finances to do it. Everybody gets their own, you know,
experience.
Enjoyment out of the
meet
occasion.
Me in the dining room
exactly.
tonight.
You go hunt and I will enjoy this beautiful lodge.
That's right.
That's cool.
And there was just a couple more breeds that were specific to the South that I didn't want to get away from mentioning as well. One is called the Boykin Spaniel, which I think are so cute. They're small, brown, have like the curly.
Okay, now I know what
curly
you're talking about.
Ear,
yes.
Hair on their ears and stuff. And this is from a book, The Southerner's Handbook. Legend has it that the Boykin was a stray spaniel that followed a Spartanburg, South Carolina banker home from church sometime in the early 1900s, given to Whit Boykin, a local planter and sportsman. The little stray proved to be such a fine hunting companion that Boykin made it the basis for a breed. Competent in field, in blind, and in boat, where its diminutive size gives it an advantage over larger hunting dogs.
Wow.
The Boykin Spaniel is known for its friendly temperament, loyalty, and near inexhaustible energy, whether flushing, retrieving, or running circles around the family living room. But that's one thing I've heard about. There's like a little saying that says, they don't rock the boat. because their size. So they're great to jump out and do things and jump, you know, not mess up the boat if you're in the water. That's cool. That's important.
That is important.
So...
Wow.
And you can see why those would be popular in South Carolina. And absolutely. Lots of that low country area.
Yeah. Cool. What other ones are southern?
The Catahoula leopard dog.
Okay.
It says it's from the home state, Louisiana. Breed believed to descend from three distinct sources. The dogs kept by native Choctaws. The stocky Spanish canines introduced by 16th century conquistador Hernando de Soto, and the late arriving French, here's the French names again, Boucheron.
Okay.
Boucheron. Early settlers in Louisiana put the Catahoula to work on farms where its herding instincts and protective nature made it a natural for watching over livestock.
Cool.
So, excellent tracker, highly intelligent, also been known to scramble up a tree in pursuit of small game.
Wow.
The Chesapeake Bay Retriever, we've already talked about. Yeah. The Plot Hound, Johannes Plot, arrived in the United States in the mid-18th century with a fleet of hunting dogs from his native Germany. Although he insisted upon keeping the line pure, his descendants in the mountains of North Carolina crossed the German hound with local breeds to develop the hunting dog known today as the Plot Hound.
Oh, okay.
Bred to hunt large game, the Plot is a tough customer that is absolutely fearless in the field. Sounding its loud, high-pitched bawl, it will navigate deep water, steep slopes, and thick brush in any number of adverse conditions without losing focus on its quarry. And it was mentioned in the Hound group as an actual
recognized breed. On the AKC list, yeah.
And one more southern breed that this book mentions is the Blue Lacy.
Okay.
In 1858, the Lacy brothers migrated from Kentucky to the Texas Hill Country, where the hog farmers bred a new kind of ranch dog from a handful of local breeds, the Greyhound, Scent Hound, and a Coyote.
Ooh!
Thought to be among them. The Blue Lacy was a common sight in rural Texas until the mid-20th century, when the decline of the family ranch decreased demand for working dogs. But today the breed is experiencing a renaissance, fueled in part by hunters who have discovered its talents in the field. With a powerful nose and high trainability, the Blue Lacy is well suited to tracking, treeing, and other activity that requires athleticism and endurance.
All right.
So there's a few... Well, strictly southern
that's
breeds
good
for you.
Good list. Good way to round it out as well. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed walking through different hunting dog breeds with us. Maybe you've even had the chance to listen to our podcast with a dog at your feet.
Oh,
who
yeah.
knows? And again, look for Libby on our socials. She's going to make
vote
Libby. She's going to make her first appearance on our socials this week.
She needs a crate. Vote
she
for
needs
Libby.
A crate. Yeah. All right, guys. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you here next time.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.